Welcome to the first of our three Holy Week reflective services. We will bring one to you today on Holy Monday, and there will be another tomorrow on Tuesday and a third on Wednesday, leading us up to the remembrance and ultimately celebration that will be part of this weekend. We hope that these reflective services give you an opportunity on each of these days to more intentionally slow down for a few minutes and remember the journey we are all making together this week towards the cross. So we're glad you're here. Will you join me in saying together our call to worship? Christ our God, your love is poured out in death for our sakes. Hold us in your embrace as we wait for Easter's dawn. Comfort us with the promise that no power on earth, not even death itself, can separate us from your love. And strengthen us to wait until you are revealed to us in all your risen glory. Amen. Friends, Christ himself carried our sins to the cross so that free from them, we might be able to live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. So remembering that and trusting in that, let's say together now our prayer of confession. O God, you know my foolishness and my sins are not hidden from you. Lord, have mercy. Let not the flood overwhelm me, nor the depths swallow me up. Let not the pit shut its mouth upon me. Christ, have mercy. Hear me, O Lord, as your loving kindness is good. Turn to me as your compassion is great. Lord, have mercy. Friends, while it is true that we have all sinned, it is a greater truth that we have been forgiven through God's love shown to us in Jesus Christ. To all who humbly seek the mercy of God, I say, be at peace. In Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven. And God's people say, thanks be to God and amen. Our scripture reading for our reflection today is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set us free from the sins committed under the first covenant. This is the word of God. A couple of weeks ago, I came across a prayer from the 6th century. It is the prayer of Saint Columba. Columba was an Irish missionary who traveled to the tiny Scottish island of Iona and founded a monastery there. The whole prayer is a simple, humble plea that Columba might be able to be in the presence of the God he so clearly adores. It concludes in this way: "If so it be that I can see thy glory, even afar, and hear thy voice, O God, and know that I am with thee." The prayer of this humble, profoundly impactful saint was simply this: that he would be able to know that he was with God. Perhaps that is actually a longing that is sunk deep within each of our hearts, sometimes hidden, but always there. Another great saint, Augustine of Hippo, thought that this was true, and he famously wrote, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." It seems that by God's design, we have been created with this deep desire to be able to be with God. And perhaps the greatest tragedy of the fall of humankind has been the loss of our ability to know that intimate fellowship and connection with Him. Well, the very good news that shines throughout the Bible is that God seems to long to be with us as much and even more than we long to be with Him. God's presence with God's people is a central theme in the scriptures, and it's a big part of the driving force behind all that God does throughout the biblical story. The verses that come right before our reading today describe the way that God made to be with his people while they spent their 40 years in the wilderness right after they had escaped from slavery in Egypt. God instructed them to make a tent, a tabernacle, that they would carry with them wherever they went. And God told them to set that tent up wherever they camped, and then promised that his presence would dwell within it, behind a curtain in the innermost sanctuary, in the most holy place. Well, eventually, long after those 40 years were passed, God had the Israelites build the temple in Jerusalem, and again, God's presence dwelt there with them behind a curtain in the innermost sanctuary in the Holy of Holies. In both the tabernacle and the temple, God was graciously making a way to be able to be with his people. However, in both of those cases, only one person was actually able to go and be in the presence of God in the same room where God's presence was, a mediator, the high priest. So while God was with them, it was still in a very limited way. Well, our reading for today is about how Jesus' coming has changed all of that forever. He is the consummate high priest. Jesus didn't just enter God's presence himself as the high priest did. As one of the commentators I read on this passage says, he pulled back the curtain and has invited us all in as well. So now, because of what Jesus has done through his sacrifice, we get to know God's presence as well, at times around us, but also living within us. It's a mystery how all of this works, but the results are clear. It's not just one high priest who can be with God, it's all of us who follow Jesus. Jesus didn't just stand in for us in God's presence as the high priest had done for the people of Israel. He removed all that prevents us from coming to God ourselves. Because of what he has done on the cross, we can each seek God and find him with us in the wonderful ways that we get to experience that now, and even more in the unimaginable fullness that it will come to us one day when the work that Christ began on the cross is finally and fully complete. So given that, let's join our hearts with St. Columba's today. Let's pray this prayer that Columba prayed, that we might be able to live in God's presence now and forever. Almighty Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, eternal, ever-blessed, gracious God, to me the least of saints, to me allow that I may keep a door in paradise, that I may keep even the smallest door, the furthest door, the darkest, coldest door, the door that is least used, the stiffest door, if so it be but in thine house, O God, if so it be that I can see thy glory even afar and hear thy voice, O God, and know that I am with thee. Amen. Now, friends, will you join me in saying together the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, may the God who so loved this world that he gave his only Son lead you by faith into his eternal life. And may Christ, who accepted the cup of sacrifice, keep you steadfast as you walk with him in the way of the cross. And may the Holy Spirit strengthen us all to be able to suffer with Christ, so that we might also share in his glory. Friends, set your minds on the incredible promise of God's presence with us now and always, and on the life and the peace that God brings. Amen.